I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Children, keep in the middle of the road. Children, keep in the middle of the road.
Don't you look
to the right.
Don't you look
to the left. Just keep in the middle of the road.
In the middle of the road.
Children, keep in the middle of the road. Children, keep in the middle of the road.
Don't you look
to the right.
Left,
just keep in the middle of the road, in the middle of the road, in the middle of the road.
I hear those angels calling
loud,
keep in the middle of the road,
keep in the middle of the road.
Waiting there in a great big crowd,
keep in the middle of the road.
I can see them standing round the big white gate.
We must travel along before it gets too late.
'Cause it ain't no use for to sit down and wait.
Just keep in the middle of the road. Then children, keep in the middle of the road. Children, keep in the middle of the road.
Don't you look
to the right.
Don't you look
to the left, just keep in the middle of the road, in the middle of the road, in the middle of the road.
I ain't got time for to stop and
talk, keep in the middle of the road,
keep in the middle,
'cause the road is rough and it's hard for to
walk, keep in the middle of the road.
I'll fix my eye on the golden stair, and I'll keep on a go until I get there.
'Cause my head am bound that crown for to wear.
Just keep in the middle of the road. Then children, keep in the middle of the road. Children, keep in the middle of the road.
Don't you look
to the right.
Don't
left, just keep in the middle of the road, in the middle of the road, in the middle of the road. When your feet get tired and your song don't sing, don't look at the world full of sinful things. Don't lay down in the road for to die. Put on your wings and get up and fly.
Keep in the middle of the road.
Then children, keep in the middle of the middle of the road, in the middle of the road.
Thank you, Voice of Praise, for that good advice. And thank you, my friend, for joining me today for this edition of the Voice of Hope. Today, we're going to be addressing a subject that is sure to interest you: how to have a long life. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher, and I urge you to stay with me as we study God's Word together. The program you're listening to is just one part of the ministries of Heralds of Hope. We also produce Bible teaching in 22 other languages, and we air that teaching around the world. Every week, tens of thousands, perhaps even hundreds of thousands, can hear sound biblical teaching in a language they can understand. And from time to time, some of them will contact us or our program producers and let us know how what they're hearing has impacted their lives. Like this listener from India who hears our Telugu language programs. He wrote to the producer of the program. He wrote to say that he had both of his legs amputated in an accident when he was working in a factory in the Middle East. And then he came home to India with great difficulty. And since his accident, he can't do any job or do any work. And so he's stuck to a chair or a bed, and he spent most of his time in despair and despondency. He wrote that life looked meaningless and hopeless for him. He said, "In my deepest grief and loneliness, I thought of committing suicide. But it was at that time that the Word of God, being taught from the book of Romans, touched the depths of his heart." He says, "I am very thankful to you who heard me patiently and wiped away my tears, although on the phone. I felt the comforting touch of the Lord as you spoke to me on the phone and prayed for me. My hopelessness is beginning to vanish, and I am finding hope because of the Word of God. Thank you for being an encouragement and comfort to me in my deepest need of the hour. I am now thankful to the Lord and to you for showing me the hope from the Word of God. I will wait upon Him to show me how He wants me to live for Him. Praise God for that wonderful testimony. This man's life was changed from despair to hope through the prayers and financial support of people just like you. Thank you. Now, if you've been listening regularly, you know that for the past number of weeks, we've been learning the biblical principles relating to marriage, home, and family. Last week, we looked at what God's Word has to say about the value of children and their place in the human family. Today, we continue our focus on children with a study from the opening verses of Ephesians chapter 6, titled, How to Have a Long Life. So let's begin, shall we? In the early 1500s, there was a Spanish explorer named Juan Ponce de León, and he sailed north from Puerto Rico through the Bahamas looking for new lands and treasures. He had heard some rumors of a mythical fountain of youth. The native peoples of that area spoke of a legendary magical spring whose water was believed to make older people young again. And so Ponce de León explored many areas, including the Bahamas and Bimini, for both gold and that mythical fountain, but he never found either one. You know, today people are still searching for that mythical fountain of youth. No, they're not really looking for a physical geographic location like Ponce de León did, but they're pursuing the idea. If you don't believe me, just pick up a newspaper or magazine or search the internet. You'll find plenty of evidence. People are still looking for a miracle potion that will stop or reverse the aging process. Vitamins, dietary supplements, anti-aging creams, you name it. They all promise spectacular results if you'll only use their expensive product. Now, I know that some of these products are legitimate, and they help to maintain more vibrant health, even as we grow older. I'm experiencing that personally. And there's also some solid research that poor dietary habits are a significant contributing factor to sickness and disease. The saying, eat well, live well, is generally an accurate one. But you know something? The fact is, no matter what you and I do, we and every other human being on this earth are under the curse of death. Now, while the scriptures make it clear that all human beings have a date with death, they also spell out how you and I can enjoy long life. The secret to long life is given first in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. And then it's repeated by the Apostle Paul in our text for today, Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 1 to 3. As you may already know, this text gives particular instruction to children, so that will be our focus in this study today. So let me read now the first three verses of Ephesians chapter 6, and I've titled our study, How to Have a Long Life. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. It may be that as I read those verses, your memory was stirred by a thought something like this. I knew a godly woman or a godly man who was an obedient, respectful child, and yet they died at a young age in life. So what does this scripture text mean, and whom does it apply to? Now that's a legitimate question that deserves a thoughtful response. To put it simply, I believe this is a general principle, not an absolute guarantee or promise. Many of the Proverbs function in this same way. Let me give you just one example. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, generally, this is true, but you can probably think of exceptions to the rule. I believe our text here presents a general rule for living. If you and I want to do those things that improve our health and lead to longer life, we need to know what we can do to aid that process. In the context of these verses, let's examine the factors that will generally promote long life. The first factor to achieve long life is obey your parents. Let me say first that these verses addressing children are in the larger context of the church, the body of Christ, and the family unit. The verses just before this deal specifically with the husband and wife relationship, so Paul is continuing his teaching about human relationships within the family, even though we have a chapter division in our copies of the scripture. Verse 1 gives a very straightforward command. So, what part of children obey your parents don't you understand? Perhaps understanding what is not the problem, but what about the why? And so, Paul gives us reasons why children should obey their parents. First of all, it's a command of God. And you know that in itself should be sufficient. But then you may ask, why does God command children to obey? Let me remind you that God accomplishes his work through structures of authority. And that structure in the family is God, Christ, man, woman, children. There can't be order or success in the family if children don't learn to obey their parents. That is the authority that God has placed over them. And then in addition, children should obey because their welfare depends on it. It's extremely important that we parents teach our children to obey our commands the first time we give them. Children need to understand that delayed obedience is disobedience, and it can have very serious consequences. Years ago, when we lived in the city and our children were small, our boys were playing on the sidewalk, and the ball they were playing with went out into the street. By God's grace and His perfect timing, I looked out the window to see our son start to run out between two parked cars after that ball. It was summertime, the windows were open, I yelled his name, and he stopped. And as he stopped to see what I wanted, a car went whizzing by. If he hadn't stopped in response to my call, well, I don't really want to think about that. A further reason for the need of obedience is children have a limited ability to understand the consequences of their choices. They don't know what's best for them. Often, they don't know how to determine the difference between right and wrong. And so the parents must make choices for them. God has charged parents with this responsibility, and He will hold us accountable. Now, obviously, as children grow and mature, they begin to make more and more decisions on their own. That's part of the preparation for adulthood. Now, what about the phrase, in the Lord? Children obey your parents in the Lord. Some have said, well, children only need to obey their parents if their parents are Christ followers. But if you extend that idea to other structures of authority, it doesn't make any sense. Must I only obey government leaders who are Christ followers? Of course not. I must be subject to the position, even if the person is an unbeliever. Others teach that this phrase means the child's obedience should be given on the condition that the command doesn't violate Scripture. I believe this makes the most sense and agrees with the larger context of Scripture. If a child is commanded to do wrong, he or she should respectively question it. In letting the parent know he cannot do what is asked, he should be gentle and respectful, and even express a willingness to find a creative alternative. But then ultimately, he or she may need to suffer for doing what is right. This leads us to the last part of the verse. Obedience is commanded. Why? Because it's right. It's the proper thing to do. Even Jesus, as the Son of God, was obedient to his earthly parents. He was obedient to Mary and Joseph. Luke 2:51 tells us that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. We can expect this same result from our children if they're well trained and disciplined in obedience. I remember a pastor friend of mine once saying to me, "A happy child is a well-disciplined child." He wasn't talking about perfection. He was talking about a general attitude. You've probably have noticed that a child who is undisciplined will often be whiny and ill-tempered, certainly not enjoyable to be around. Proverbs 29:15 reminds us, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings his mother to shame." I've seen lots of mothers brought to shame by an undisciplined child in restaurants and grocery stores, and other public places. Speaking now to the children, obeying your parents is an imperative. It's a command. If you think you can ignore it and escape the consequences, I have some sobering news for you. It won't work. Returning to Proverbs, we read this warning. The eye that mocks at his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. That's a very graphic and unpleasant picture of the consequences of disobedience. This command of obedience to parents is so important because it lays the foundation for the future. A child who doesn't learn to submit to the will of his or her parents will have difficulty with authorities in school, in the workplace, and in the wider society. But you know, the most tragic result is they will have difficulty submitting their will to God. The next factor to achieve long life is honor father and mother. As children grow in age and maturity, they begin to make their own decisions. Dad and mom no longer give explicit commands to be followed. In my older teen years, my dad no longer gave me specific commands that related to my daily schedule, to my work, and so on. But he did maintain some overall guidelines for what was acceptable in our home. There were certain things I knew I could not do as long as I lived in his house, and that was a good thing. To this day, I appreciate that, and I had similar guidelines for our children. It's important for us to realize that the command to honor father and mother is even greater than the command to obedience. Now, maybe you wonder why I say that. Well, I can obey my parents out of obligation, but that's not honor. Honor is a greater concept than obedience, because honor involves proper attitude coupled with proper behavior. I can obey my parents without honoring them, but I cannot honor them without obeying. In addition, honor isn't dependent on age or marital status. And this verse doesn't suggest that we only need to honor our parents while they're living. Again, we have a straightforward command with no qualifiers. Just says, honor your parents, honor your father and mother. The word honor means to appreciate, to prize, to respect, and to revere. It includes the idea of assigning value to the one who is being honored. So what does honoring parents look like in the process of living? Well, a key aspect of honor is gratefulness, and you see this all throughout the scripture. When God's people were properly grateful to him for his blessings, then they honored him. They understood he was the source of all good things. Their honor was expressed in their obedience to his commands. As a child, your parents brought you into the world. They cared for you. They provided for your needs when you couldn't help yourself. They watched over you, and they watched out for you. And they freely gave of themselves to help you get a good start in life. And even if that's not the case with your parents, the command to honor them still applies. In fact, if you didn't have the privilege of having good and godly parents, it's very important for you to honor them, because your godly response could be the one thing that God uses to draw them to himself. One way to honor your parents is by giving public testimony to the impact they've had on your life. Think about it. When someone compliments you on your character, or a certain skill or ability you have, how do you respond? Do you give credit first of all to your Heavenly Father and then to your parents? Most of us are what we are and who we are in a large measure because of the investment our parents made in our lives. So let's express that fact publicly to other people. In that way, we honor our parents' sacrifice and their investment in our lives. Honoring our parents means valuing their opinions and seeking their advice, respecting the fact that they have wisdom because of their years of experience. I was so glad for the counsel of my parents in some of the major decisions Joyce and I made in the process of raising our family. Honor means speaking about them and to them respectfully. It means keeping in touch by phone and personal visits. Honor means remembering the special days in their lives and then setting aside time to be with them. Honor also means being willing to take responsibility for their care in the later years of their lives, in much the same way as they cared for you when you were an infant. and I realize that that sometimes is impossible. A parent may need skilled care that can't be given in your home setting. But in far too many cases, adult children have communicated their desire not to be burdened with the care of an aging parent. Now, to be fair, some parents have not given their children the opportunity to care for them. They feel like they'd be a bother, that they'd just be in the way. So this is a two-way street. I take this opportunity to bless my sister and brother-in-law for the care they gave to my parents in their later years of life. Now, our text states that this is the specific commandment from the Decalogue for children, and that there is a promise attached to it. The promise is, those who honor father and mother will have blessing and a long life. As I said earlier, it's not an ironclad guarantee, but a general principle that has proven itself true. Those who obey this command generally find much blessing in their lives. Honoring parents, in many cases, will keep you from engaging in activities that will shorten your physical life. There are mountains of statistical evidence that children who honor the Lord by honoring their parents are less likely to live in poverty, less likely to engage in destructive behavior or criminal behavior, and they'll be less likely to live with bitterness that often robs people of years of joyful living. They will likely be well-adjusted and productive citizens. Honoring my parents is important to me personally. My mom passed away in 2009, and she had a great impact on my life. My dad followed her 10 years later. I love and appreciate the parents God gave to me, and I'm glad that the things they taught me have been a source of much blessing to me and to others also. I value their contribution to my life, my marriage, and my family. It meant a great deal to me to know that they approved of my walk with the Lord, and their prayers and their encouragement were priceless. Now you know the secret to a long and fulfilling life. Is your life going well, according to God's plan? What kind of relationship did you develop with your parents? You know, if you're an adult, you are responsible for a major part of that development. Did you obey them as a child? Are you honoring them as an adult? And if you are, you have the promise of God's blessing and long life. If you don't honor them, you can expect the opposite. That's the general principle expressed here in this text, and you can experience it personally. It's your choice. Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to my heart through the teaching of your word. For those who have faithfully obeyed and honored their parents, I ask you to bless them today. For those who failed to honor and obey their parents, I pray they will repent of that failure. Today is the day they can begin to obey and honor their parents. Today is the day they can begin to experience your promised blessing. So thank you, Father, for being the God of second chances. Bless your word now to our hearts as we apply it to our lives. We pray through Christ. Amen.
Walk down that lonesome road all by yourself. Don't turn your head back over your shoulder and only stop to rest yourself when the silver moon shining high above the trees.
If I had stopped to listen once or twice, if I had closed my mouth and opened my
tonight, carry on, carry on, carry on, carry on.
sorry for yourself. It doesn't save you from your troubled mind. Walk down that lonesome road all by yourself. Don't turn your head back over your shoulder and only stop to rest yourself when the silver moon is shining high.
I hope and pray you were encouraged by this study on how to have a long life. If you know someone who would benefit from this teaching, you can get a print or digital copy of this teaching for them. Or you can point them to our website, heraldsofhope.org, where they can listen to the teaching at their convenience. To request a print or digital copy of this teaching, send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or write to The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or you may call our office toll-free at 866-960-0292. Now once again, our mailing address is The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Our email is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292 to request a print or digital copy of this teaching, How to Have a Long Life. Thanks again for joining me today, my friend. I remind you, it is God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, that will enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now I invite you to join me next week for the Voice of Hope. Lord willing, we'll finish this series with a message titled, A Biblical View of Singleness. So make plans to tune in. And until we meet again,
children of the Heavenly Father, safely nestling bird nor star in heaven, such a refuge there was given. God his own doth tend and nourish, in his holy course they flourish. From all evil things he spares them, in his mighty arms he bears them. Praise the Lord.